Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 5. 1 John, chapter 5. And I want you to get your Bibles out, get them ready, grease them up. We're going to use them tonight. And I am going to help you. If you have not ever listened to me while I teach on Wednesday night, this is not the night to not listen. I have a lot I want to say. I don't have a lot of time to say it in. It's a little bit line upon line, but I want you to get it. This will help you. I'm going to make some very pointed statements tonight. Pardon the pun here. I'm not beating around the bush. I'm not playing around with this at all. I'm very, very, very serious about this. This is not something that I look at and say, well, I think this is right. This is not something that I've read in a book somewhere that somebody 40 years ago wrote and said, okay, that's what I believe too. This is straight from the Word of God. This is something I practice. This is something that I've proven and something I've watched other great men of God prove. And I want you to listen tonight. And I need your mind. I need your attention. 1 John chapter 5, let's start reading in verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. I could stop right there. We could go home. We're not. But that's a wonderful verse, isn't it? Whatsoever is born of God. Hey, if you're saved, you've overcome the world. Some of you are so worried about what's going to take place. Oh, the new iPhones and the new iWatches. Is that part of the beast? Everything is one step closer. Who gives a rip? The closer we get, the closer we are to heaven, baby. Don't worry about it. All right, here we go. That was just added. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now watch this. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, are those spirits capital or small? That's the Holy Spirit. Now watch. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, capital S, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, look at me if you will. Keep your Bible open. We're coming back to this. Tonight, I want to help you with your Christian life. So many people get frustrated in their Christian life that they tell me this. I just struggle learning my Bible. I struggle understanding my Bible. I'm going to help you tonight. I can assure you that you don't have to struggle. Now, it's not going to be a switch that the moment you do this, all Bible knowledge flows into your head. It doesn't work that way. But I can show you how that the Bible can become alive to you. It can begin to make sense to you, and you can gain understanding, and how it becomes easier for you. Let me say this again. God wrote that book. Those are not man's words. Those are God's words. John did not write in 1 John 5. The words were in heaven before the world was created. These are God's words. Now, we're not to fit the Bible into our lives. We are to fit our lives into the Bible. Let me say that again. You're not supposed to fit the Bible into your life. You are to fit your life into the Bible. Everything that God has ever done, everything that God will ever do, has been done by His Word. Did you catch that? Everything God has ever done and everything that God will ever do has been done by His Word. If we went to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. Oh, watch that. The Spirit of God moved. And we go through that, you get down to the end of the first day, and it says, God said. Over 12 times in Genesis chapter 1, it says, God said, God called, God said, God called, God said, God called, God said, God said, God said, God called, God said, God called. In other words, all of creation, God spoke into existence. And I want you to notice something, the Holy Spirit was there. He was part of creation because the Holy Spirit and the Word of God work hand in hand. Now, hang on, we're going somewhere. God even spoke life into man. Genesis chapter 1. And God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You say, it doesn't say anything about speaking. When you speak, you breathe out air. It's pneumas. It's spirit. It is the word inspire. And we'll get to that in a little while. Now, I want you to notice, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 8, the Bible says, and I'll quickly read it, "And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness." Hey, God said he is going to throw down the devil, the Antichrist, in the end days by the spirit of his mouth, with his words. God will throw down Antichrist with the words out of his mouth. Okay? Very important. If we went to Revelation chapter 19, verse number 13, it talks about Jesus. And it says he's coming back at the Battle of Armageddon, and written on his vesture is his name, the Word of God. Now, hang on. John chapter 1. Verse number 1, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W, "and the Word," capital W, "was with God, and the Word," capital W, "was God. The same was in the beginning." Uh-oh. In the beginning, God created. And the same Word was there in the beginning. That's Jesus Christ, because verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And that is Jesus Christ. Now, listen to me very carefully. The Bible was given to man by the Holy Spirit of God. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse number 19. Folks, we're just still in the introduction. Tighten the seatbelts. We're about to take off. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto the light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Watch this. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God," what's the next word? "Spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Ooh. God gave man the Word of God spoken, and it was the Holy Ghost that did it. He was the conveyor of the Word of God. Now, hang on. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God always have and must always work together. The Holy Spirit cannot work against the Word of God, or he's working against himself. Listen to this a little bit further. The Holy Spirit has to work in exactness with the Bible, or he contradicts himself. That's why people that say, oh, you got to speak in tongues to prove that you've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, I can show you they're heretics. They're wrong, because that's not what the Bible says. That is not a proof of the filling of the Holy Spirit. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit dwells inside you. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit regenerated your spirit, and that was salvation. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Listen to it carefully. If God gave us the Bible to live by, why would he hide its truths from us? If God gave us the words of God to live by, why would he make it hard to understand? You see, he not only gave us the word of God, but he left us the Holy Spirit at salvation. So he was there to teach you and to guide you in the word of God. That is the purpose of tonight's message. Number one, are you ready? The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. I've said this before. Man is body, soul, and spirit. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. Now watch this for a second. The Bible says they are three in one. Did you know that I am a husband, but I'm also a pastor, and I'm also a dad? I am three different titles, same person. So I don't understand the Trinity. You just saw it. Now God has the ability to separate it in three different ways. I'm not God. And the whole world better be glad I'm not. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, God calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth, and he calls the Spirit truth. We started in 1 John chapter 5. Go back there very quickly. We're going to stay here just a little bit. 1 John chapter 5, I want you to notice verse number 6. This is he that came by water and blood. Stop right there. That is talking about Jesus Christ. You say, oh, Jesus who was baptized. That's not what the water birth is talking about. If you went back to John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, that which is born of water and of the Spirit. The water birth always pictures the physical body being born. When that baby is inside mama, before it comes out, the water's got to break. God has put that there, and it's always a physical birth. Jesus was born a physical birth. He put on flesh that could die. John chapter 1, verse number 14. Not only that, he was blood. He wasn't man's blood. He was God's blood. By the way, Jesus did not come to the earth to become man. He's always been the man part of God. The Bible says, and the Word became flesh. Not man. He became flesh. He put on a robe of flesh that could die. Because Christ was sinless. Without it, he could not die. Now watch this. The Bible says, verse 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness. Because the Spirit, watch this, is truth. Circle those three words. Spirit is truth. Now, take your Bible, turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We're going to look at one verse. John chapter 17. I want you to look at verse number 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is Jesus Christ praying in John chapter 17 to the Father, and he said, thy word is truth. Wait a minute. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 6 said the Spirit is truth. That's because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit work together. They are one, so they are both one in the same. Therefore, the Holy Spirit cannot contradict the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit and the Word of God always work together. Jesus is the Word of God. Remember Revelation chapter 19, verse number 13, written on his vesture is his name, the Word of God. Oh, wait a minute. Now you've got the Spirit is truth, you got the Word is truth, and you got Jesus is the Word of God. Now watch this. I'm about to have a spell here. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. For there are three that bear record. Ooh. Record. Do you know what a record is? It's a written account. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three, what's the next word? Are one. Not were. It says they are one. Mr. Schofield can take his notes. If you have a Schofield reference Bible, if you look in your center column, it'll have a little O beside there. You go to the center column, and Mr. Schofield says, and I quote, "Is generally agreed that verse 7 has no real authority and has been inserted." Mr. Schofield's a heretic. He has just denied the authority of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. Look at verse number 8. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. Okay, we went from heaven to earth. Watch this. The Spirit. Ooh, that's the Holy Spirit. And the water. That's you being born, because the Holy Spirit dwells inside the body of the believer. And the blood. You only become a believer because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Watch this. And these three agree in one. That means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, the body of the believer that's been saved, have to all be in agreement. Make sense to everybody? Shake your head this way. Okay, now we're going somewhere. All right? You have eternal salvation due to the Holy Spirit in you. By the way, you also have an eternal, never dying, perfect Word of God, because of the Savior who is the Word of God that paid your salvation debt for you, and it was settled in heaven before you ever were. So the Holy Spirit is God. Number two, I'm about to have a spell. The Word of God is eternal. The Word of God is eternal. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, this is a very familiar passage to many of you, but I want to show you what God says, not just quote it to you. Psalm 119, look at verse number 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Everybody look at me. Jesus left heaven. But he said forever the word was settled. Can I tell you why? The word was there when Jesus was there in the beginning. And when he left, it was still there because it was written as a record in heaven. Okay, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. By the way, the Bible is as eternal as God is, because the Word of God is Jesus Christ. Did you catch that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, this should settle the matter of inspiration. Let me take just a moment to touch this. Well, let me take a moment to smash this. The Bible is inspired by God. Not just in the original texts. Pensacola Christian College and others that believe that the Bible was only inspired in its originals, and the inspiration died with the originals, are telling you that Jesus Christ died and is not the Word of God. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, giveth life. If the inspiration is gone, Christ is dead and is not the Savior. It is an issue. Let me say it this way. Anything that God breathes life into is alive forever. When God breathed into man the breath of life, man became a living soul. Guess what? Even when man's spirit died, he kept breathing. His soul kept living. His spirit died, but man kept living. Come here for a second, Brother Smith. When you were born, did God come down and breathe into you?
I don't remember.
Why not? You were there. Guess what? God did not come down and breathe into Brother Smith. God did not come down and breathe into you or me. Watch this. All of Adam's descendants were inspired with the same breath God gave him. If Brother Smith had a sibling who at birth did not breathe and they did not get breath into its body, it was dead. Now, that's harsh. But guess what? Without breath, there is no life. And God doesn't come down and start breathing into every human being. He gave that inspiration one time, and it carried through generation after generation after generation after generation. Thank you, Brother Smith. Can I tell you something? A God that can do that can do the same with the inspiration of the words of God. Yes, sir. With no breath, there is no life. God breathed his words when he spoke them at creation. God breathed his words when he breathed into man the breath of life. I'm going to keep going here for just a second. He kept breathing on them when they were written down. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, etc., etc. Now watch this. He kept on breathing life into them when they were copied. If you went to Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 6, you find out the scribes that were copying the word of God were breathed on. It was still living words of God. Everybody okay? God kept breathing on them when they were translated from language to language. John chapter 5, verse 39, Luke chapter 4, verse number 21. And as the languages changed, the translations kept the life. Can I tell you something? He keeps on breathing in them as the King James Bible was translated into English. Now, hang on. I don't believe that's the only Bible in the world that is inspired. I believe every Bible that came from the same texts and was translated the same way that book is, no matter what language it's in, is the inspired words of God. I believe the King James Bible for the English-speaking people, because the Bible says man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There has to be in every word Bible somewhere. Everybody doing all right? Okay. The King James Bible, by the way, these people that only believe in its inspiration in the originals, they'll call it the King James Version. I like calling it the King James Bible. It's not a version, it's the Bible. The King James Bible is just as much as inspired today as it was the day God gave it, because it's eternal in its life, because Jesus is the Word of God and He is eternal life. And it was given by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I must hurry. God gave His perfect, living, exact words to man. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 again. I want to show you something. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 20. Told you I needed your minds tonight. Some of you need to slap yourself. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word moved literally means breathed upon, spoken. Look it up in any Greek lexicon you want. Look it up in any Greek New Testament you want. It literally means breathe or holy breath of God. But holy men of God spake as they were wholly breathed upon, inspired. Now watch this. The Bible also says that the Scriptures are of no private interpretation. This is where I want to park for just a second. Not long, but let me throw a fit. When you hear someone say, well, as I see the Bible saying, who gives a rip? It's not how you see the Bible. Everybody doing okay? When it comes to Bible standards, ladies and men, well, I just don't see it that way. The Bible is of no private interpretation. You get into these Bible expositors and they want to show you how smart they are. Oh, brass is the symbol of judgment. And let me show you the deep things of God. Puke. Some of those guys go down deep and come up dry, let me tell you. They'll spend 6 years in the book of James teaching verse by verse, word by word, and when you're done, you don't know what you heard. And you really don't care, and you'll never want to read the book of James again because that was so boring. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all been there. You know what I'm talking about. We are not to interpret the Bible from our point of view. That is humanism. That is humanism. When people get up and say, and I'm not again, I know good preachers that have done this illustratively, and I'm not criticizing, but David says here, and Solomon says here, and God means this here, and you got all this typology. The Bible is of no private interpretation. Let the Bible say what the Bible says. Let God put Scripture together for Himself. He's quite capable. Well, you need somebody to teach you those deep things so that you can know. You have the Holy Spirit, who is the Word of God, who was there at the speaking of the Word of God, that gave it to the men of God, who wrote the words of God, who is Jesus Christ. Guess what? A God that can do that can teach you the Bible. God gave you the words of God by the Spirit of God, according First, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Now, okay, hold on to your seats. I'm going to give you something to really get fired up about. Lost man cannot understand living words because he has a dead spirit. Statement number two is going to be tougher. Let me repeat number one. Lost man cannot understand a living word because he has a dead spirit. The only words a lost man can understand is how to get his spirit reborn. Here comes the tougher statement. Because lost man cannot understand a living word. Watch this. He rewrites it to understand it more easily as a lost man. The RSV, the RV, the New King James, the Living Bible. Isn't that funny? Living Bible and it's dead. They got to tell you it's alive even though it's dead. The Reader's Digest Bible, I don't care what perversion you put out there, those are written, and by the way, if you go to Revelation chapter 22, you'll find out they're cursed. Say why? They're changing Jesus. Oh, well, we have older manuscripts. You don't have purer manuscripts. Jesus was quoting the Old Testament in the New Testament. I guess if Jesus could quote it and call it scripture, it's good enough for you and me. Just so you know. So, lost man cannot understand living words because he has a dead spirit. The only words a lost man can understand is his need of salvation. At the moment he gets saved, he begins to understand scripture better. Now watch this. Lost man rewrites it to understand it more easily. They call people like me, "Oh, you easy believism guys. You King James only people." Now watch this. They rewrite the Bible so it's easier to understand, and they call me shallow. Oh, you're just shallow. No, you're the one that's got to have an easier to understand Bible, and you wrote it from man's point of view, not God's. You know, they have a gender neutral Bible. God is a he and a she. You know, they have a Sodomite Bible. It's written for the Sodomites. I call it the HIV. I'm not kidding. It's out there. You have the Amplified Version. Good News to Modern Man. You know, some of the titles of these things. What you ought to do before you read anything like, by the way, don't read it. Just read the introduction of the translators and see what they say. And then read the introduction to the King James Bible and how the translators approach that. It'll change your opinion. Okay? I got to hurry. I have 11 minutes. Number 4. The Holy Spirit always accompanies the Word of God. The Holy Spirit always accompanies the Word of God. Now listen to this. You're going to want to hang me if you don't stay with me. The Bible alone is not the answer. Because you're separating out two parts of the Godhead. The Bible with, listen to this, by the way, you say, that's not possible. John MacArthur is a heretic because he taught that the blood of Jesus trickled to the foot of the cross and the blood's not necessary, just the death of Jesus. That is teaching the Bible fact without having the Spirit. You have many false teachers of this book. It is the Holy Spirit speaking from the inside while the Word of God is speaking from the outside, and the agreement comes that you have what God intended. That's why when there's no Holy Spirit speaking from the inside and people are reading this that are lost, they say, I don't understand that. There is no Holy Spirit inside to guide them. There is no Holy Spirit while the man of God gets up filled with the Spirit of God to teach the Word of God for inside there to say, he's right, you better listen, he's right. You don't like that, but he's right. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, hang in there. You see, the Holy Spirit wrote it and can help you understand it better than anybody else. Many years ago, put out a book on being an assistant pastor and leadership fellowship. I didn't sell thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of copies of it by far. Didn't intend to. But I have gotten calls from around the country from assistant pastors in recent years that have gotten my book, and they said, "Brother Bush, could you explain this a little better to me?" And I have actually gotten to teach people who read my book what more there was than just what was on paper. They go away going, "Wow, okay, I can handle that." Say, "What was that?" "I wrote it. I know what I meant." Guess what? The Holy Spirit wrote that book. He knows it better than anybody. So, here we go. Last point. Are you ready? Don't get your shoes on yet. The Holy Spirit, number 5, will teach you the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will teach you the Word of God. Maybe the most important verse of the night. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, here we go. 1 Corinthians 2, look at verse number 9. But as it is, what's the next word? Oh, that was pathetic. But as it is what? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Wow. Can I tell you how you start to understand the deep things of God? The Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that will teach you the Word of God. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. He's not only going to teach you what it says, he's going to teach you what it means. How many of you, when you went to school, hated history class? Be honest. Raise your hand. Okay, I did. Say why. Because most history teachers, all they do is get up and puke a bunch of facts and dates and events, and you got to try to puke it back on a piece of paper. It's as dead as last year's Christmas tree. If you did like history, it's probably because somebody made it become alive to you. When there was no life, even though there was fact, but there was no life, it was boring. But when some life was put into that thing, shazam, that thing came alive. Can I tell you something? When you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside you, and he is there to teach you the Word of God. Can I tell you why? Because he works in accordance with the Word of God. He can only move by action by the Word of God. By the way, he can teach you the deep things of God. Can I tell you why he has the authority to teach you the deep things of God? Because he is God. He is God. I hope this isn't a bad term. If it is, forgive me. But these jaybird preachers that get up and tell you, well, Solomon was a profane man, and Solomon was an idiot, and Solomon should have never been writing scripture. Okay, who made you God? Neither should Moses, because Moses was a murderer. Did you know that Solomon was, in their opinion, more a sinner than Moses and David and Paul? But Moses, David, and Paul murdered. Solomon did not. Hello. It makes them sound real smart. Well, Solomon says here, David says here. No, David didn't say it. Solomon didn't say it. It was written in heaven before they were ever created. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It doesn't just say was, it says is. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Did you know that the Holy Spirit can teach you how all this fits together? Many of you have come to me and said, "Preacher, man, I'm learning the Bible. I never saw some of these things come together like this. Where did you get that?" Right there. 35 years of study, putting it in, and asking God to help me understand it. It's amazing how much God teaches you the Word of God. When I read my Bible, I simply say this: Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Help me understand it. Help me understand it. I was reading the Bible the other morning, and I have sermons I work on constantly. I've got about 40 or 50 sermons I'm working on right now. And I had two sermons I was working on for Sunday. I started reading my Bible. I was in Isaiah. And as I started reading, I've read this chapter scores and scores and scores and scores and scores of times. All of a sudden, God says, "Here you go, son, here you go." I wrote down a couple pages worth of material, and that's going to be my Sunday morning sermon. Say, "You're changing it?" Yeah, because the Holy Spirit showed me what I was supposed to do. Say, "Where did you get that outline?" The Bible. The Bible. You see, He will show you how it all fits together, if you ask Him. Now, everybody listen to this statement. If you didn't put it in, He's not going to bring things to your memory that you haven't put in there. Did you catch that? Turn to John chapter 14, I believe. I don't have this written down, but I'll show you. Yep, John chapter 14. You ready? John chapter 14, verse number 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said." Did you know that the Holy Spirit can teach you the Word of God, but He can only teach it to you if you put it into your mind? He's not going to teach you something that you don't have in there. That means it's your job to get into the Word of God and bathe yourself in the Word of God. And as you read it, you're going to say, "I read something before. It was somewhere else. I got to find it. And all of a sudden it starts coming together. That's called the Holy Spirit. Because not only is He teaching you all things, He's bringing all things to your remembrance. If you've ever been out soul winning, you know what I'm talking about. Somebody asked you a question, all of a sudden the answer started coming. You're thinking, "Where in the world did that come from?" Y'all know what I'm talking about? Man, I have made statements out soul winning, walked away from the door and told my partner, "Hang on." They said, "What?" I said, "I got to write that down. I don't know where that came from." I did know where it came from, but I hadn't thought of it on my own. You say, what was that? The Holy Spirit bringing it to memory. It went in at some point in time, and it came back out when I needed it most. By the way, that's how God teaches you the Bible. It's not a word of knowledge. It's not a revelation. No, it is the Holy Spirit of God. As you put the Word of God in you, He starts teaching it to you. And starts teaching it to you. And by the way, the Bible says that the Spirit quickeneth, gives life. It's breathing. It is an ever-breathing, never-dying Word of God. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. The more you hear it, the more you're at Sunday school, the more you're at church, the more chances you have of understanding it. God did not write the Bible, a book He expected you to live by, and He did not write it as a mystery. He wrote it for you to understand. Because of your sin, you don't see it nor hear it the way you should. So, when you get saved, He moves the Holy Spirit inside you so that He can teach it to you as you read it and hear it. don't let these reprobates, these non-spirit-filled people tell you that the King James Bible is not alive. They're heretics and they're wrong. I've been accused. I've been lumped together with people that call me. These liberals will tell you that I believe in what they call re-inspiration. I don't believe in re-inspiration. I believe in eternal inspiration. Just like I don't believe in rebreath. You know, these people are idiots. That means what they believe is this: only Adam really breathed. Everybody else is breathing false breath. They don't know where to go with that one. Because God breathed into man, man became a living soul, so did all of his descendants, all of his copies. Do you know if you take a paper and put it on a photocopier, it'll come out exactly the way it went on? Does that mean only the original was inspired? No. Now look at me and I'm done. I want you to fall in love with that book. Say why? Because you'll fall in love with the God of that book. And you'll fall in love with the Savior of that book, because he is the Word of God. When you read it, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. It's going to take you a while because you're going to have to read it a lot. But as you start reading it more and more, and as you start hearing it taught more and more, and as you all that starts to come together and you're asking the Holy Spirit to sincerely teach you, 99% of the will of God is right there. I know missionaries that are on the mission field tonight that are in the exact geographic place God probably wants them. But they're not doing what God told them to do. What good is it to be where you're supposed to be and not doing what you're supposed to do? I probably know missionaries that might not be in the exact field God intended, but they're doing what they're supposed to do and God's blessing them. I'd rather be in the wrong place doing the right thing than the right place doing nothing. If you'll just get busy doing what that says, you don't have to worry about anything else. God told Moses, get these people out of here. When Moses followed the words of God, look what happened. The will of God became obvious. So it is in obedience to the word of God you find the will of God. But you got to know what that word says before it becomes the will. That is how the Holy Spirit and the word of God work together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I long for Christian people to fall in love with the Word of God. I long for Christian people to fall in love with the Holy Spirit, God the Son, who is the Word of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to teach it to them.